wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody, and what a Thursday it is. Oh, my. What are you going to watch? NBA draft? If you had to choose Astros, Yankees, NBA draft, what with the Rockets picking third tonight, how will the drama unfold? Will it be Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, or Paolo Banchero sitting there at number three? Will it be Yordan Alvarez or Aaron Judge hitting homers into that bandbox in right field? We shall see. We won't see it with Lance because Dell's here with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, I'm starting to think maybe you're right about this kid thing. Not only are they expensive, but they're also disease carriers. Am I right or am I? Lance texted last night, I've got a fever and I'm puking. The whole family is, everybody's sick, so I'm not going to be able to come in tomorrow. This is a product of having all of these disease carriers living in your home. I mean, I think you may be onto something here.
What am I on? What I've been saying for years that
they're
not worth it?
Don't have any kids.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're at a point, sort of an emptiness. I mean, the kids come back every now and then. You get to see them. But look at the life you're living.
Oh,
look at the life you're living with them out of the house.
Oh, I'm at the Nugget in Las Vegas right now. I played poker literally, I played for 13 hours yesterday.
Yeah, I got the text from both of you about the same time. For whatever reason, I actually went to sleep early last night, so I didn't see it until about 1 a.m. If I actually slept well, I wouldn't have seen it, and I guess you guys wouldn't bleep out of luck. But Mr. Glass always has a problem, whether it's his legs or his upper body, now it's his stomach. He's always like a kid sneezing away from going to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if Lance sneezes, he goes to the hospital.
There's so there's that. I think.
If anybody sneezes around him, he'll be down. He's going to get – there's some kind of a disease that he's captured from one of his children. But, yeah, you know, I think you're honest. I haven't been sick like I used to be when the kids were at home. Yeah, they'd bring stuff home. They're horrible. They're really kind of horrible people when they're young.
Of course. I would probably say I've been really, really sick twice as an adult. You know why? I don't have to avoid the Petri dishes that are those gremlins that you guys decide to create by procreating. I've stood on this branch, this limb for a while now, but yet people still like to – I get liking having sex. I don't know why you want that end product, though.
Yeah, well, Dell – they are, you know what?
Are they?
They're such little joys. They're such little joys. You know, with how they, you know, just poop all over the place and vomit, and they spend all your money, and they do bad things, and you're just constantly, you have to watch them 24 hours a day. Ah, maybe you're right about this thing. I'm leaning towards your side on this thing. I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them, and I love mine even more now. And yeah. Lance will really appreciate his even more when they're all gone.
I was listening to a podcast of known Rocket hater like Ryan Russillo, and somebody sent in one of their listener advice questions, and they were discussing having kids. And everyone on that podcast sided with, you're kind of a weirdo / loser for using excuses not to have kids. Meanwhile, Ryan Russillo doesn't have any. I'm like, what? Ryan, you live in like Manhattan Beach by yourself, and who knows who's coming to that home when you want them to. What are we talking about here? Stop it.
What a life.
Yeah.
Ryan Russillo with all that money, fame,
and living off the beach.
Freedom, independence to do what he wants all day, every day.
And he had the audacity to come on his podcast and discuss why he kind of regrets having kids, but also has no plans to have him. Get out of here.
You know what he needs? He needs a wife, so she tells him what to do all the time, and kids, so he's captured and can't do any of the things he's doing now.
Yeah,
that's what he needs.
Look, I'm sure they're a joy to a lot of you. They've enriched your lives, and I would say, did they?
Yes.
Did they really?
Yes, they really did. You can't be prouder of them, okay?
Well, your kids are doing things, but what about those kids who...
No, they're horrible.
Oh, yeah, I know. Your kids cause you problems, but at least...
No. My kids are wonderful.
Your kids are actually doing things, have achieved things. I mean, Frankie cost you quite a bit.
But Frankie got a... Frankie's doing well.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have kids despite some of the stuff that happened when she was running into everything that she could in a car. She's actually achieving things. What about your boy had scholarships, so you didn't have to pay for school, and he's doing things. We all know about Steffi, who was an accomplished doctor. What about the kids who don't do anything? What about those kids? What about those parents?
Listen, I'm coming over to your side, and I got great kids.
Yeah.
So Lance won't be here today. Okay, you only got one choice. Well, which one? I don't know if I should ask you this. Which one are you going to watch, the draft or the Astros?
Well, the draft has some more intrigue because now Paolo Banchero's the favorite to go first overall.
I'm looking at
Caesar Sportsbook on
ESPN
right now. Yeah,
it's part of the Caesar Sportsbook, but I'm looking at my bookie right now, and that's simply not the case. At this point, Jabari Smith is -400. Paolo's +275. Chet Holmgren is +350.
Yeah, all this stuff happened overnight.
So yeah.
One of the basketball Twitter had all the odds, and -200 was Paolo by Caesar Sportsbook. And Jabari Smith's odds for going third have increased, so that would suggest maybe the Rockets are forced into trading up to one to take Paolo. And then Jabari falls to three, and the Magic get their guy there. Who knows? But if there is any intrigue, it's probably about where they go, not who goes to where.
Right. Here's what my book – and you know what? You can get – it is widespread. You won't see these kind of odd things on any other bets, really, because they usually all fall in line together because they don't want anybody. But you can go to different sites and really pick up some money because right now Paolo Banchero is +275. And where did you say that they had it? What book had him as the favorite?
Caesars
has him as the favorite. The number two pick right now on my bookie: Chet Holmgren -300, Jabari +275, Paolo +600. Paolo's the favorite for the third overall pick at -290. Chet Holmgren is +450. Jabari Smith +700. So you can really find some great odds on all of them, So this is going to be an interesting night. I'm going Astros. I can always find out.
You can find out who.
Yeah, you can find out on Twitter. You don't get the same thing. Here at the Nugget right now, we're talking about a 4:05 first pitch today. I love this here, man. You lived in L.A. So it is awesome. I remember when I lived in Phoenix, you get up at 10 a.m. and there's NFL football on.
I grew up in a time where, you know, the noon game for college football was the biggest game of the day. Well, noon Eastern. But I was on the West Coast. I would get up and watch number one Miami versus number two Florida State at 9 a.m. And go through the rest of my day watching games. So, yeah, I've experienced what it's like, the joy of being on the West Coast and watching sports.
Well, you're different, though. See, for me, getting up and watching 10 a.m. NFL football, I'm hungover. You know, I was up late, actually, with friends partying out in bars.
Sounds terrible.
And I got to get up. Right, and you're fresh as a daisy. It doesn't, you know, whatever. I didn't go out and have any fun last night, so I'm ready to go to watch stuff at 9 a.m.
Well,
you might as well have been watching cartoons.
Well, I was like 10, so yeah, I was watching cartoons. As an adult, I live in Houston most of my adulthood, but as a kid, I was a kid, so I was watching Spider-Man and Batman, and then when football rolled around, I'd watch that on Saturday morning. So you're right. I was a kid watching cartoons.
Absolutely. So we got some good stuff, and had some good stuff yesterday. Man, I want to tell you, I don't know that we appreciate Jordan enough yet. Ever since he got paid, holy crap, dude is just if this is what it took, you should have paid this dude as soon as he stepped on the field. I got a text from a buddy yesterday. Who's responsible for this Yordan trade? This may be, you know what? Is this possibly going to go down as the greatest trade in Astros history? Better than the Bagwell trade?
That was the one that came to mind as far as competing. And yes, the way how old is Yordan again? Well, he's from a country where you never really know if we want to make that joke. But yeah, the Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields trade when he's 24 years old, it'll go down as the best trade in Astros history.
Yeah, I have a feeling it could well be as lopsided as that Bagwell trade was. This one, you're done. Now, Bagwell's a Hall of Famer, so you know we got to slow down just a little bit. But man, oh man, can this dude rake? Holy crap! I like to see it now. I'd love to see. Listen, they started. I don't know about you. Did you think that they were going to look this good against the Mets?
I never questioned the Astros at this point. They're like they haven't won as many titles, but when the Spurs were on their run, oh, they're the Spurs. They'll be fine. And show up when it matters. I'm at the point where they have to actually fail before I go, you know what? Until then, I'm going to side on they'll show up because that's who they are at this point. Change a couple players. It doesn't matter. The core of who they are means they're going to show up.
Are they? See, listen, this team is not as good as the other teams.
No.
All right? You look at that 2019 team, holy crap. You still had George Springer. You had Correa. You had Cole. I mean, that was a team. That was unbelievable how good that team was. The 17 team that won it all. This team is just be as good.
I didn't want to invoke
and
this
yet,
name.
Look
of the
at
team.
Them.
I don't want to invoke the name of this team because they're hated here for recent things and in the past. But they're the AL West version of the Braves, where until the wheels fall off, you might as well just expect them. Just expect the Astros to be who they are and to show up. And what were the Braves like that for a decade? A decade plus?
Yeah. Right now, I think they're the Chiefs.
I was just going to use a baseball.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think they're well, the Braves did. Well, maybe the Astros will win 10 straight titles in one World Series. I don't know. I don't want to put that on them yet. I think they're more like the Chiefs. They're in the AFC Championship game every year. They've got the one title. They've got star power. They're fierce and scared, you know, feared throughout the league. They're sensational. I think they're the Chiefs, and you know, and until both of them win another title, I'm looking at I don't want to pull a Lance here and go way off the beaten path. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh, what a way to start this 9-game stretch against these two teams. I would have been happy with a 4-5, 9-game stretch against the Mets and the Yankees. I don't want to. You know me. If they win a game, I'm throwing a parade. And if they lose a game, they're
Everyone
bums.
Sucks.
They're bums. You bums. I'm done with you. I'm done. No, I'm not doing that here. I'm kind of excited, though. I'm a little bit excited. I'm very excited about the series that starts tonight. All right, 713-780-3776. As we mentioned, Lance is gone. But you know what? Every once in a while, you guys can contribute. If you'd like to get in here, you're more than welcome. I am live in Las Vegas at the Golden Nugget. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Playing in the senior poker tournament not last night. It starts at 11 o'clock. And doesn't finish until 12:30. We got done about 12:30 last night in that neighborhood. That's 2:30 in the morning in Houston, okay? So am I a trooper? Lance has a little stomach thing, and he doesn't even show up till? I'm up till 2:30 playing poker, drinking Coors Light,
yeah, but
and I'm here?
Yeah, but poker and Coors Light is like your spinach to Popeye. It's not a detriment. It's only an add.
Well,
you drink and you play and you get stronger.
The only thing that would have been better is if I got to hit golf balls in between.
Well,
in between hands.
Then we're talking about Superman flying into the sun. Then that's who you are.
The only thing. And, of course, if my wife was there.
That makes everything better.
That's right. No question. You know what was making it better? I tweeted out last night at the World Series of Poker, keeping Vegas chill with my Coors Light. I was doing it. It was awesome. I'm telling you, I had a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing time last night at the World Series of Poker right here. And I got to tell you, it's not as good if you don't have Coors. It's just not as good. I'm telling you, people, life is just not as good if you don't have cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. If you're not keeping Texas chill. I'm not going to be in Texas this weekend, in Houston this weekend. We're going to get 105. I can tell you here, it's cooler here in Vegas, in the desert, than it is in Houston. And, oh, by the way, it's a dry heat. But I still need to be refreshed. I still need to keep Vegas chill. I'm doing my part. Do your part. Keep Texas chill. When it's 105 on Sunday and you need to be chill, when you need to chill, you chill with a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul Biancardi is going to join us at 8:30, NBA draft analyst and national recruiting director. He will be here with us, so we will be able to we will be able to break it down with him. But not only that pick, but the 17th pick overall. You know, we don't pay much attention to that. What do you yesterday we are in our little text stream. Y'all listened to Rafael Stone. Rafael Stone and Tillman had a press conference. Rafael Stone was, you know, yeah, hey, there's a chance we could pick it. And then Tillman chimed in. Hey, we might trade this pick, everybody. So, yeah, hey, it's out there. Okay, so just so everybody knows, what are the odds they trade this pick, number three pick?
I was actually thinking about this last night. Not just their pick, but other picks as well. What could you get for the three pick, or what type of player is worth the number three overall pick? Let's say a young player becomes available and a team goes, you know what? We want the third pick. We'll give you straight up our young star. I'm trying to think of one right now. Someone who's actually tradable. Let's say for whatever reason, I imagine he would require more because of it, what he's done. I would say, what is Tyler Hero worth? Not the third pick, but what is he worth? Is he worth a 10th overall pick? Because I use his name because he might be in trades because the Heat are trying to acquire a star. Is he worth the 10th pick overall? Is he worth the 8th pick as an established good player where you're actually taking a chance on the pick of a guy you're drafting out of the G League or college? So that would be my question. What's the third pick worth, and what kind of player would you actually trade for it? And who would be available?
Yeah, boy, it better be a big, big name if you're going to trade that number three pick.
So you have Paolo Banchero. Apparently, that's the guy you want.
That's
who you want. What's the likelihood of Paolo Banchero being a consistent? I guess you're high on him, so you would say pretty good. A 20-10 guy. You think that's his floor or his ceiling?
I think he'll at least, now it depends on the situation too. I mean, is he going to be with, James Harden massaging the ball, or is he going to be on a team that's going to move the ball? And, you know, he's also got to improve as a shooter. He's got to improve, as a shooter, but you would think that's possible. We see guys do that all the time.
So let me give you a big man, 24 years old. His team has had plenty of success. He's been to a finals, been to an Eastern Conference finals. He's 19-10 right now with room to grow. Is Bam Adebayo worth a third pick overall?
Yes.
Okay, so a player of that caliber, you'd be sure. Paolo, you go.
Yeah.
You're fine. Go
if
to Miami.
If he was Bam Adebayo, would you be happy with Paolo?
I think if he was the defensive force plus the guy who can get you 19-10 and has room to grow, I think you would be thrilled with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. No. I would be happy with Bam Adebayo. So Bam Adebayo is a piece to a championship puzzle.
Okay, so that's the level of player you'd like for the third overall pick. And so to answer your original question, I don't think he gets traded. because that's the type of player you want. I don't think anyone's offering you that.
Let's say, so Seth Greenberg was on with the boys yesterday in the afternoon. Which one was he on? Was he on with Joel and Jeremy, or was he on the Wheelhouse, RJ? Wheelhouse? Okay. So he was on, and just yesterday we had Jay Billis talking about him, about Chet Holmgren, comparing him to Giannis. Okay. Here's Seth Greenberg. If it turns out that Paolo goes first and Jabari goes second, or whatever, in whatever order those two go first and second, and Chet is sitting there, here's what Seth Greenberg has to say about Chet Holmgren.
My concern for, obviously, Chet Holmgren is, what is his base? Thin hips, thin legs. With thin hips and thin legs, how do you hold a spot? And that's a concern. Is he skilled? Sure, he's skilled. Can he affect the game defensively? Sure, he can at the rim. Can he keep someone off their spot? Probably not. Can he switch the ball screen and go to small? Probably yes. Offensively, is he crazy skilled, like maybe a Chris Paul-Porzingis? Better ball skills? Yes. But again, when you're that tall and you don't play that low, and you play against a smaller player with leverage, it's hard to get in the lane. You know, everyone calls me Unicorn. Here's my question for you guys. Have you guys ever seen the Unicorn?
I've never seen one, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, what is a unicorn anyway? I look at people, so what is a unicorn? What is a unicorn? It's a fictional figure. I mean, like, can you hear the play? You can't play. Like, Holmgren is really skilled, but he's light in the rear. He doesn't have a great base to play off of. I think he'll look back again defensively if the rim is a shot blocker. I mean, he could be a great player, but he's an if.
That doesn't sound like Giannis to me.
No. The unicorn thing I never got because, like Seth said, unicorns are fake. They're not real. Why would you want to compare him to that? I mean, who's the last guy who got that, really? Because Giannis wasn't called a unicorn at first. Wasn't it Kristaps? He was called the unicorn, and look how that's turned out for two teams already.
Well, I think he's the most – he's, you know, the boomer bust guy in this draft, right? I think Jabari's going to be solid. I think that Paolo's going to be solid. And that's – you know what? You know, I'm not looking for Giannis in this draft. I'm looking for Bam Adebayo. I want somebody that I know I can guarantee is going to be a good player, and I think those other two guys are that. If I asked you this and I played that soundbite, if Holmgren is there, do the Rockets trade this pick?
Oof. I think they could get a lot for it, but how far would you be willing to go? And how far down would you be willing to go?
No, for a veteran.
Oh, a veteran player. Okay, a legitimate good player. I think if there's a legitimate player who could elevate them immediately, yeah, I think they would trade the pick.
I think so too. I don't know with Alperen, Şengün. I don't know. I'm not sure that Chet Holmgren is really the guy here. I just don't know. And I do know that they really do. I mean, they love these picks and everything else, but I really think that they need some veteran press. And I think that won't be long before they can be pretty good. It won't be long before they can be pretty good with good young players, and they're going to have a ton of them with these Nets, how the Nets are going to suck. You're going to have a ton of high draft picks, but they need some veteran presence. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they wouldn't trade this.
Okay, I'll give you a name, like RJ mentioned it. If they traded their entire first round plus a player to get Donovan Mitchell, are you okay with that?
Oh, then what happens What happens then with Jalen?
You pair him with Jalen Green. I mean, they're small. Jalen's taller, but small. If you're trying to compare small guards, you look up the Portland.
I don't
for
know
what
why
they've done.
When they've got Gobert, I just don't see the Jazz doing it.
Well, who knows?
And
maybe
they're throwing KPJ too, or
your entire draft and whatever the Jazz want, and maybe the Jazz decide to take Jaden Ivey. Who knows? Maybe they don't like Chet Holmgren either. Maybe they would like to get the replacement and they take Jaden Ivey. And they'll keep Gobert because now one of the guys is out the door, so they can keep the other, and then they'll pair him with another guard and do a soft reset. If Donovan Mitchell was available for that 3 pick plus whatever the Jazz would need, would you do it? Since we're talking about trading the pick.
Yeah. Can they do it money wise?
I mean, the Rockets would be the question.
You
have to look at the cap.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the buyout for John Wall would have to occur, right?
So listen, you get Donovan Mitchell and you've replaced James Harden.
Younger, less of a problem.
Yeah.
He's still bad defensively, but not as bad as James.
He wants to get away from Gobert. He wants to get out of Utah. Who doesn't? I mean, and you've got a star. I mean, you've got a legitimate NBA star. I don't see Utah doing it, but yes, I do that right now.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? That third pick is Donovan Mitchell?
So it's Holmgren. If it's Holmgren available, you're all in on trading the pick for a legitimate star.
I would be more inclined to say yes on that. Yes, okay. I would trade the pick if it's Chet Holmgren. I wouldn't trade it if it was Paolo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Paolo's the one that appears to be falling to third, and yet, at least in this town, I don't know if it's because he's all that's left, but in this town it feels like everyone's all in on Paolo.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody is. Here, Seth Greenberg, speaking of Seth Greenberg, talking about Banchero and how he can excel in the NBA.
Well, I think he could be a really good isolation player because of his ability to, you know, his big body. So he's got a great ability to drive at spin, use his size, strength, and get to the lane and make a play. He's got a lot of tools in his box. You know what I mean? He's like a little kid on Christmas who has toys everywhere, doesn't know which one to play with. I think he started to refine what he wanted to do offensively. Like, a great offensive player doesn't have to do a lot. Move the counter move. Drive it to a spot. They take it away. He likes that drive left, spin back to the right, left shoulder, a little jump hook. I thought he understood better where his shots were coming from, which is a big transition for guys go from high school to college and also college to the NBA. And he's got a beautiful stroke, but not as consistent a three-point shooter as like our Jabari Smith, who I think is going to go number one.
So, Wasserman, everybody. I mean, we've got all kinds of sound bites of people that just love Paolo Banchero, okay? Matt Barnes likes Banchero with the number one pick. Jonathan Wasserman, he's the best prospect in the draft. I think that's the way Orlando's going to go. I do. I think that he's moved up, and we'll see. We'll see whether or not that happens, but if it does, then... What are you watching tonight, RJ? Astros or NBA draft?
I think I'm going to watch the draft tonight just to see, you know, who the Rockets get, if there's going to be any trades. And, you know, then by the time we get to the second round, I'm turning it off.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Do the Rockets make the 17th pick, guys? And 26. How about 26, too? I mean, dude, how many young guys do you need?
This is the thing. They're getting into OKC territory where you're not going to be able to roster all the young guys, all the draft picks you have acquired. At some point, you're going to have to try to consolidate and either move them along with the contract to get a player you like, or, I don't know, consolidate these two and move up in the draft, or trade for a future first. I think, you know, we talked about this last year. They traded up to get Şengün, but they wound up taking three first-rounders. Can they do that again? I'll say they make two of the picks.
Yeah, let's not for Garuba, right? I mean,
or four. They had four first-rounders last year, right? Garuba, was he a first-rounder?
Oh, yeah,
too?
and then they had
Christopher.
Yeah.
So are you going to try to package? Because recently, Kenyon Martin Jr., according to reports, has requested a trade. So are you going to package, let's say, 17 and K, you know, Kenyon Martin Jr. for someone, or are you going to, you know, like there probably could be somebody out there that would say, hey, we'll take Kenyon Martin Jr. and the 26th pick and give you player X, you know, would you do that in the draft?
If the player fits their timeline, and by timeline, I mean, I don't even know when the Rockets expect themselves to be good, but if you can get yourself a mid-20s veteran who can play and can help out, so it's not a bunch of 19 and 21-year-olds trying to figure their way through the NBA, I would do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need veteran players now, and you can package these up. I mean, plus you might throw some of the – I mean, you know, how valuable are the future Nets picks going to be?
Well, we're going to find out maybe
they're looking
in the next
nicer and nicer and nicer. All right. Roger Goodell met the media yesterday. We'll hear from him on the other side on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf's And he, you know, I'm here in Vegas, and he's probably buying cars here. He buys cars all over the country. You don't do $1 billion worth of cars in a year unless you're buying them all over the place. He's in L.A. He's in Chicago. He's all over the place. Houston is one of his favorites, though. Houston has been around. He's got the longest running show on this radio station. That's right. He's been here longer than all of us on 97.5. And what a relationship it's been, and it's been awesome. I've sold him a car. I sold him Frankie's car. What a disaster that was for him. Grabbing Frankie's car as is, because when it's Frankie, it's as is. It's as is bumper cars is what it is. So if you're looking, I mean, listen, and he bought it, and I love him for it, and he gave me more money than it was worth. I'm telling you, that just happened. Well, here's the deal, is he'll give you more money than your car is worth as well. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, put in the license plate, show him some pictures, tell him about your car, and you got yourself an offer. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by GovCost, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Dale, did you watch that hockey game last night?
No, I told you. I fell asleep, but I woke up to see the highlights of how it went down, and apparently there were 7 men on the ice for the Avs, and the Lightning coach was like, that goal, he was very vague about why the goal shouldn't have counted. He apparently was really broken up and couldn't talk about it, but if you look up the highlights, there was the 7th guy, when you include the goalie, the 7th guy was making his way off the ice as the goal was scored.
Well, that happens all the time when you change lines.
That's what I thought too.
The guys aren't part of the play.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be one motion, and there's plenty of times where guys are just starting to walk onto the bench. I mean, it had absolutely nothing to do with the play.
Yeah.
Now you're not supposed. I mean, the guys got to be near where they're getting off the ice. Otherwise, you know, then it is too many men on. It's almost like a relay where you're passing the baton, right? It's supposed to be somewhat. Yeah, the guy who's coming off the ice cannot be possible. He's got to be really close to getting off the ice.
Well, he was within a step of, like, he was probably leaning on the board as he was getting out.
Come on, you're not going to blame that. Hey, it was a good game. They won in overtime, and you know you got to give the Avalanche. Hey, Lightning, stop crying like little biznatches. You won 2 in a row, okay? Well, stop.
Sore loser.
Sore loser. I mean, I'd be a sore loser. Now listen. I'm not against sore losers, okay?
No, you appear to be a
perfect. If I lose, I'm going to complain. I'm going to
call people cheaters.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, listen, I appreciate what Tampa's doing here. But, sorry, the Avalanche won. Let's move on. 3 games to 1 now. The Avalanche are looking good.
Going back to Colorado to try to close
it out. And we'll see if they can't close it out there. So, this whole Roger Goodell thing. I mean, he's making the news for whatever reason. Roger Goodell met with the media. Do you get what sound do you have, RJ? Okay. For whatever reason. Well, Dave Portnoy, for those of you who don't know, he is Barstool's president. He's what, El Presidente, right? Is that what he is? I think he's El Presidente, whatever. He can't stand, because of Deflategate, he went to storm the NFL offices. They had a sit-in outside of the offices. He's got a clown shirt with Goodell's, you know, with the clown face and the hair and the nose, the clown nose and everything else. And is Roger Goodell being a little bia with about Portnoy because Portnoy doesn't like him?
I mean, if you've got a vendetta, I don't mind people with vendettas, particularly when you have the power to inflict some damage. And if he wants to ban Portnoy from things, well, realize who you're dealing with, Portnoy. If you enjoy making appearances at the NFL games, maybe not piss off the most powerful man. Well, I mean, the owners empower him. But as far as the face of the league, don't piss him off. That's fine. Leave him alone. If you want to go to games and you're going to make – and frankly, Portnoy is thrilled that Roger Goodell took it out on him. He's thrilled by it. He's making the brand
famous. He's making him famous, right?
Yeah. He got a mention in Congress, of all things, during a hearing.
So here's Roger Goodell. Jim Jordan asked Roger Goodell why Dave Portnoy has been banned from games.
Commissioner, you believe in the First Amendment, don't you?
What a trap question.
I mean, all parts of it, all rights we have, your right to practice your faith, your right to petition the government, right to assemble, freedom of press, freedom of speech. You believe in all that.
Yes, Congressman.
Why do you ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games?
Pardon me, I couldn't hear your question.
Why do you ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games? He's a journalist. In fact, he's a sports journalist. Why is he banned?
Congressman, I'm not familiar with that issue. I'm happy to check with my staff, but I'm aware of that. Yes.
Well, I think we're all aware of that. We're all aware of that. I mean, he interviewed the President of the United States, interviewed President Trump in the White House. It seems to me if you can get into the White House, you should be able to get into a football game, particularly as a member of the press and a member of the sports press. But you don't know anything about that?
I don't, sir.
Frankly, Dave Portnoy is not a sports journalist. He has a website. He's not a sports journalist.
Well, no. No. He's not a sports journalist. Although they do – do they break stories? I don't know how much they break stories. But why
– The real question is, why is Jim
why
Jordan
is Goodell,
asking?
Why is Goodell in front of Congress? And why won't Daniel Snyder go in front of Congress?
Well, because – they made this version of it voluntary, and now apparently they're going to subpoena him.
Yeah, now they're going
to
subpoena him,
so he has to show
because
up.
he's been busy.
I'm busy doing things on my boat at Cannes.
So I'm unfamiliar with this. Why is the NFL in front of Congress? Why is he in front of Congress? And is there an antitrust issue here? Or
isn't it an investigation into the Washington's stuff?
Well, then why is what? Then why is he asking about Dave Portnoy?
Because they're grandstanders. They're all grandstanders.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got gas prices that are $20 a gallon in California. We got inflation. We got, oh, my gosh, there's so much that's going. Are you kidding me? And we're asking Roger Goodell about Dave Portnoy?
Just look, I don't know if Jim Jordan is bathing in anything that you would think is dignity. If you look up. Well, just look them up, and you'll figure it out. I don't know. I mean, I thought he was there to discuss the things going on with the Washington Commanders and Daniel Snyder, but instead we're asking him about Dave Portnoy, and it seems silly.
Yeah, and by the way, don't worry, the NFL's going to take care of its own. You want to talk about vendettas? You steal money from the NFL like Daniel Snyder allegedly has been. That he's keeping profit. He's keeping tickets from and revenues from the rest of the league. Really, you think that the NFL isn't going to take care of this? You don't think that this guy is going to get taken care of?
And
you know that thing I told you about. You know that thing.
It is what
would
it
you
is.
Take care of that thing?
It is what it is.
No, it ain't what it is.
No, that's what. That's,
no,
isn't that what they said in the Irishman when they were going to kill someone? It's what it is. Oh, it's what it is.
It is what it is.
I think it's what it is, and the guy goes away.
Oh, this guy's not long for this world.
Yeah.
No, not for this NFL world. You steal from the family? Are you kidding me?
We don't care what you do with the women that you've hired in your organization.
Right.
We're not really all that concerned about
that. Oh, no. We didn't care about that stuff.
Yeah, but now you're taking money away from us. Like, you know, the mob ran drugs, and you know they had the prostitution racket. We don't care what you do to the community, particularly your community of employees. But when you start taking money away from us,
why is Congress doing this? I mean, what is going on? I'm watching on ESPN right now. This Raja guy, I can't pronounce his last name. He's asking Goodell questions, and Daniel Snyder just said, "I ain't going." You know what? Screw you. I ain't going.
They said it was voluntary, and he voluntarily decided not to go.
I volunteered myself. He said, he's Laramie Tunsil, okay? Okay.
Hey, you said it was Daniel voluntary. Tunsil. I mean, Tunsil made the season voluntary for
yeah.
reasons.
No, no, no. Listen, I hurt my pinky. You think I have to show up? No. No.
I'm hurt.
I'm Daniel Snyder. I'm busy. My lawyers are busy. Sorry, can't come.
Apparently, you can track a luxury liner like you, or a yacht like you can track a plane. They tracked his boat or his yacht, and he was in France hanging out. Cons.
He's busy. I'm busy right now.
Doing stuff. Washington Commander stuff in a foreign country.
You know, the only one that got screwed on this whole thing, this whole investigation into the Commanders?
John Gruden.
John Gruden's the only one who got screwed on this whole deal.
Should have won more games, John. You'd have been
He's
fine.
He's not too. Even there. He doesn't even never work for him.
Should have won more games, John. You'd have been fine. They would have covered for you, too, if you had won
more
games.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Spacey, you should have acted better. Okay? Guess what?
Hey. The last couple seasons of House of Cards, you weren't that great. Beat it.
No. And I don't think he was acting when he was making out with his driver.
No. The former Secret Service agent?
Yeah.
Or the actual Secret Service
agent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
it seems like that wasn't much acting for him.
It was art imitating life, John.
It was. It certainly was. All right. I just don't get it. Congress, don't you have anything else to do? You're investigating the Commanders?
I mean, even if you are, maybe that's a viable thing because of what's going on with that organization. But why are we asking about dudes who run a website?
Oh, I'm just so disgusted. I was unaware that I didn't know about this whole thing. Now
you're upset.
Okay. Well, let me come back. Oh, my God. They're asking about the – oh, this is it, too. Del Rio? You think he's not on Congress's list?
Well, depending on what side you are, Jim Jordan was loving – hey, why are you – how could you guys find Del Rio? Roger Goodell was like, well, it's not my – I didn't do that.
I didn't find him. The Commanders found him.
What do you ask me for?
That bastion of integrity, the Commanders find him, not me. We'll play that when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What I'm talking about right now is the Chastangs, the Chastang family, the I've known Joe and I've known Patrick for years and years and years, and you cannot find nicer people. You cannot find people who are more loyal to their people. You can't find people who are more loyal to their university, the University of Houston. You can't find people that are more loyal to their customers. When they say they're going to put you in that vehicle at the price that you have to be at, when they say they're not going to add on, when they say that they're not going to mark up the prices, do you know what they're doing with these electric F-150s, what other dealerships are doing with these electric F-150s? They are marking it up. Listen, this is what's happening. Other dealerships are saying you can't sell your electric F-150 for 1 year, okay, because we're driving the price up. That's not happening. Not happening at Chastang Ford. They wouldn't. They would never do that. They would never mark it up. They would never add on. I'm going to get my electric F-150 exactly how I want it at the payments that I have to have it at. Because that's what Chastang Ford is. They are determined every single time. And they're dedicated to doing this for you every single time. And they're going to work that deal as hard as they possibly can. This is for everybody, not just me, for everybody. That's why you're going to be part of the Chastang family. Look, if you're looking for that Ford car or truck or pre-owned vehicle, they've got certified pre-owned vehicles on the lot, and in a lot of instances, gold certified pre-owned vehicles where you get great interest rates. So if you're looking for this kind of a deal, this kind of a dealership, it's at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Count it up.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Why are there all kinds of Lance in bed sick pictures on right now on Twitter, Dell? For those of you who don't know, Lance is sick. Dell is in for Lance this morning. I'm in Vegas where, Dell, I'm going to tell you something about Vic and Anthony's. You ever been to Vic and Anthony's?
I don't think so.
The steak here is, I mean, it is second to none. And look, you got, we got, there's a salt grass and a clean jumper and a grotto and a, there's a fish restaurant. There's the steakhouse, the Vic and Anthony's, the second. I mean, it's spectacular. I mean, I love the Nugget here. This is where I always stay. It's beautiful. The rooms are all renovated. It's just gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. I stay here, and then I Ubered to the Strip to play poker. But they've also got. I'm staying here today. I was on the Strip all day yesterday. I'm going to stay here today, watch my Astros, watch the draft, and play poker in the Grand Ballroom where they got a gigantic $3 million they're giving away here to me, I hope.
Is Tillman's face everywhere there?
Nowhere.
No? Okay.
No. No, he ain't about that. No. No, you don't see him. And actually, I was kind of pissed. I was like, I was walking through there the other night when the Astros were playing the Mets. And I'm like, hey, y'all pissed Tillman would be? There's not one Astro. All these TVs, and you got the Yankee game on. You got this game on, that game. Boston's on with their stupid yellow uniforms. And there's no Astros game on right here? What?
Yeah, what's
is that how we're going to act?
The reasoning.
You going to act like that if Tillman was here?
And they're playing a good baseball team in the Mets? What's the deal with that?
Well, unless listen, I walk up to the bar and I go, hey, can you put that game on? Absolutely, sir. And they'll put it on.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not about, but I was like, nobody asked. It's a little disrespectful in a Houston owned and operated place. Nobody asked. Okay, so anyway, I just love it, and I'm gonna brag a little. Lance had Paul Miller in yesterday, right? Bringing him food. I had Vic and Anthony's.
Yeah,
I had Vic and Anthony's.
But did they bring it to you for free?
Well, it could be. I don't know. I haven't seen my bill yet. I'm hoping. Now you just planted a seed, though.
Are you going to try to finagle your way into a free Vic and Anthony's?
I'm not opposed to asking for it. I won't beg per se, but I'm not opposed to
it. If it happens to show up that way, where hey, comped, great.
Hey, we just won't say it on the air because the IRS could get involved.
Okay.
We're not doing that.
For what they know, you paid full price.
Yeah. That's it. David said this. There's JG, the man of the people, just living the ordinary life of steaks, golf, and poker. That's right. You're right.
That has always been.
I am the man of the people.
That particular character thing you try to throw out without being a man of the people always
man
been a facade.
M-O-T-P.
It's always been
and all on Wendy's dime. No, it ain't, David. I work for a living.
Well,
I work barely. I work three painstaking hours a day.
John finally took a day off. He worked yesterday from Vegas. He worked today. He's working today from Vegas, but he will take the day off tomorrow. So give the man some credit.
No, I'm not taking the day off tomorrow.
You're not?
No,
I thought I was coming in for you tomorrow.
No, you're probably coming in for. No, I'm working.
You sure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm positive. I pretty much know when I'm working and not working.
I don't know. You take so much time off. I'm sure you get confused.
No, I'm not off tomorrow.
Because I remember when I was scheduled to work tomorrow, Lance sent me the days as if you had the day off.
No. That's not the case. So you got to get this straight. You were going to come in tomorrow?
I believe he sent me that.
He don't know anything. What's tomorrow's date?
No, the 24th.
No, I'm working. Oh, you know, originally I wasn't going to, but I am now.
See?
I mean, this is weeks ago I said that.
Well, he sent it to me weeks ago.
He's not that bright.
Like before June, he sent me these dates in May.
Yeah. No.
So I was going to roll up here for no reason.
Adrian Wojnarowski just put this out. As team boards finalize today, the 1-2-3 of the NBA draft is increasingly firm, per sources. Jabari Smith to Orlando, Chet Holmgren to Oklahoma City, Paolo Banchero to Houston. Win-win. What if the Astros win tonight and the Rockets get Paolo Banchero? Where does this rank in greatest days ever?
In
the history of the world.
I mean, I'm sure it's like day 1,000,000.
Well, in the history of Houston's world, in the history of Houston sports world, in the regular season.
Now you're adding context. So we're talking about a regular season win over the Yankees. You know, a team the Astros dominate in the playoffs. Yeah. and a draft pick third overall. Where does it rank? I think it ranked, as far as regular season accomplishments, I think it ranks behind the 6-0 comeback against the Yankees where Altuve walked it off.
How about that? Right before the All-Star break. Or when they beat Cole after they were down, they lost the first two games in New York. How about that? That was nice.
I think this day would rank behind those.
Well, Paolo Banchero now kicks it way up.
Well, that'll be determined years from now how important this day is. Because if he's
Anthony Edwards?
No, that would be great.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, if he's Anthony Bennett, whatever.
Well, if he's Anthony Bennett, that's a huge.
It's a terrible day.
It's a terrible day for everybody.
Yeah, so let's say 10 years from 8 or even 5 years from now, we'll know what this day means. I imagine no one will think back to go, man, one of the great days in Houston sports history.
We beat
the Yankees and Mancero was drafted.
Yeah. Oh, no. What a great day. I remember that day. I remember where I was. I was at the Nugget. I remember that. I remember that because I was at the Nugget.
Well, I'm glad you're getting your guy, John.
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know. I think that's the consensus. Okay. Who do you want? 713-780-3776. Who do you want? Highest all-star chances. Chet Holmgren, 47%. Banchero, 46%. Jabari Smith, 41%.
Considering no player who's ever looked like Chet, I'm talking about body type, has made the all-star game. Who's made the all-star game who's built like him?
Like Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard two comparisons. Kevin Durant and Sean Bradley.
Now, Kevin Durant is actually a unicorn because he's like nearly 7 feet tall and has the handle of a guard, and we know why that's the case.
According to Jay Billis, so does Chet Holmgren.
Oh, okay, because Chet was crossing up smaller dudes like Durant was at Texas? Is that what Chet was doing? Who wasn't even the primary guy at Gonzaga? He was so much like Kevin Durant at Gonzaga that he was their third or fourth option. That is what Jay Billis is suggesting?
Yes.
Huh. Well, that's a poor job by Mark New.
He suggests that he's more Giannis.
So who? Okay.
Yeah. No, he said Giannis.
So Giannis, sure, because he's thin like Giannis was, but Giannis didn't play any college ball.
Giannis
grew and then put on how many pounds?
I don't see Chet Holmgren. If he gains, how much can he put on, honestly? Well, I mean, Kevin Durant still has stick arms, right?
Yeah, but we had this conversation during the chat. Kevin Durant is listed at like 240. You wouldn't think it.
Chet Holmgren's 185.
Is he ever getting
7'8", 185 pounds.
That seems like an exaggeration.
It's a little.
Is Chet ever getting the 230?
That body type is not.
He'd have to swallow like 8 small children. Like Kevin Durant, 6'10", 240. Will Chet even get close to that weight?
No, I don't. I do not believe he will. I think there's zero chance.
And by the way, the Giannis thing, you look at Giannis as a drafted player when they take their pictures, not even in the suit, but when he took his pictures in this Milwaukee Bucks uniform, Giannis had broad shoulders back then.
Yeah.
Chet ain't got broad shoulders.
No, Chet's got, honestly, you could put your hand all the way across from shoulder to shoulder. That's how slight of build he is.
I mean.
You're right. Giannis had the wide James Caan shoulders.
What a reference. I know what you're saying because now I'm picturing James Caan, but what a reference.
Well, in The Godfather, he always wore a degotee, and he was.
Well, see, that's aggressive. I know you can say it because you're.
Right, but that's what they are. And he had tank tops.
You can call them tank tops.
Well, they're not tank tops. I'm not calling
the
it the other one.
The other one is worse,
too. The other one's worse.
Yeah.
So they're not tank tops, though, okay? Just so you know.
Undershirts?
I'm just going to say, yeah. Italian undershirts.
Yeah. There you go. Nice cleanup. Italian undershirts.
That's what they are. All right, we never heard that Jim Jordan question. We'll play it on the other side. Still ahead, Paul Biancardi from ESPN is going to talk about the NBA draft, which is tonight. So don't you go anywhere. You listen to the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.